I tell you, for many of us, it was our mother that told us the story of Jesus for the first time. And so how thankful to have mothers that love the Lord. And those of you that are young mothers or maybe new mothers, just think about the privilege that you have of telling your children the wonderful story of Jesus. What an honor, what a privilege. I was reading a story about a mother that she was putting her little boy to sleep one night. It was the night before his fifth birthday. And she said, "Kevin, this is your last night as a four-year-old. Do you understand that?" And he nodded his head. His mother said, "When you go to sleep tonight, you will still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you will be in the morning when you wake up?" And Kevin was just excited, nodding his head, and said, "Yeah, tomorrow I will be a handful." You see, for a whole year, he'd been holding up four fingers. He wanted everybody to know he was four. But he was glad to add that fifth one. He was going to be a handful. So all the mothers out there who have had their hands full, we celebrate this Mother's Day in your honor. As we honor our mothers today, I would like to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she is probably better known in history than any other mother. She was hand-selected by God the Father to give birth to His Son, our Savior. And not only that, but to nurture Him, to care for Him, to raise Him up, to fulfill God's plan for His life. What was her life like? Have you ever thought about that, Mary? And her raising the Son of God. What was her life like? What could we learn from her? How does her experiences as a mother reflect those of every godly mother to ever live before or since? Well, that's what we hope to look at tonight, or this morning. And, you know, Mary, though she is unique, we all understand that. She's the mother of our Savior. But Mary, like any other mother that is here today, she experienced anxiety, worry. She experienced pain, sadness, trouble, just like any other mother. But she also found great joy as a mom. And I will say, because there's so much misrepresentation of Mary, that Mary was a sinner just like all of us in need of a Savior. She was not sinless. She was not perfect. So even Jesus didn't have a perfect mother. But He had a wonderful mother that God had chosen specially for Him. Here in Luke chapter 1, we're going to read beginning in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for giving us your pure word. Lord, as we look to the scripture today, Lord, we're thankful for this story of Jesus. What a privilege that I have to tell this story, the story about his mother. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts, Lord, and speak to us today. Lord, help us to give attention to your word. Lord, help us to be encouraged and by your word today. And Father, I do pray, Lord, that as I preach about the mother of Jesus, Lord, that we would not fail to miss that the key person in this story is not Mary. The key person is Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we all see him for who he is, the Savior of the world, the one who is able to deliver us from our sins and give us eternal life. And Lord, there may be those here today that do not have that hope, that have never come to Christ and trusted him as their Lord and Savior. And so that is my prayer today, Lord, that you might draw them to Jesus, that they might rest in him alone for salvation. And Lord, we do pray for every mother here today. Lord, we're so grateful for our mothers. May they be encouraged by the example of Mary. And Lord, we ask that you would just have your way and your will, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as I was reading through here, I noticed that in verse 28, when it's talking about Mary, the angel, he said that thou art highly favored. You know, this word favored has the idea of grace. And so it's not anything that Mary had earned, but it was God's grace that had been manifested to her. And she had been highly graced, if you would. And it says, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, notice this word, among women. He does not say above women. The scripture says among women. She was blessed among women. And we need to realize that I want to honor this woman, but I don't want to reverence her, because reverence only belongs to God. It only belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look at this mother of Jesus, she was no doubt a very special mother. But you know, this story that we just read, it tells about a mother's surprise. That's what we're going to look at here first. A mother's surprise. Imagine Mary's surprise and shock at this angel's announcement. Stop and think about that. Just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. Here an angel appears and gives her this message that she is going to bring forth a son. This had to be very shocking and surprising for her, because she was not even married yet. You know, it says in verse 27, to a virgin, a spouse, to a man whose name was Joseph. She was a virgin. She had not known a man. And she was a spouse. This speaks of she was engaged to Joseph. But in Jewish culture, in this time, I want you to understand that before marriage, they would have this time of engagement where the parents would agree that their daughter would marry this man. And during that time of engagement, they would be separated. They would not be together. And during this time, it was considered as binding as marriage, even though they had not come together yet in marriage. And so she was espoused to a man. In other words, she had been engaged to Joseph, and she was bound to keep herself pure until marriage, but she was not married. And I want you to think about her shock and surprise to hear this news that she is going to be pregnant. You know, to you young women out there, there are two words that will change your life. You're pregnant. I mean, that's a life changer right there. I mean, some of you lady mothers here, you experienced that. You remember that first pregnancy, the surprise, and maybe the shock. Maybe it was unplanned. Maybe it was unexpected, like Mary. I'm sure that Mary was overwhelmed by this. She's probably thinking, how am I going to explain this to my parents? How am I going to explain this to Joseph? You know, because in that day and time is a lot different than the day in which we live. Getting pregnant out of wedlock was not something that was looked upon with favor. It was something that was really shameful. And that's what it's going to look like for Mary. It's going to look like that she was unfaithful to Joseph, that she was not a faithful wife for him. In fact, Joseph, when you read in Matthew's account, Joseph, he had planned to put her away privily or privately. He had planned to give her a bill of divorcement. Now, why build divorcement if she wasn't married? Like I told you, engagement in those times was binding like marriage. It was a vow. And so Joseph wrote her, was going to write her a bill of divorcement. He was going to divorce her until the angel appeared to him and explained what was going on. You know, I wonder what it was like that day for Mary. I mean, just the surprise and the shock. And you know, that after this, she spent 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. Maybe her parents sent her away. Maybe they're trying to hide her pregnancy, knowing that she was not yet married to Joseph. But I want to say something about Mary. This is a blessing as I read this, to think about this young woman. In spite of the surprise and shock of this unplanned pregnancy, Mary did not view it as an inconvenience. She didn't look for a way out. She saw it for what it was, a blessing from God. You know, this little baby that was taking shape in her womb was not only going to be the light of the nation, the light of the world, but this baby was the light of her life, was the joy of her heart. In fact, if you would look in verse 46, when she went to spend some time with her cousin Elizabeth, she broke out in praise to God for this gift from God. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." Notice that she says, "my Savior." See, Mary needed a Savior. God was her Savior. "For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He had showed strength with his arm, He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich had he sent away empty. He had holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary, whenever she found out the news, she surrendered to that. She accepted this gift from God. She accepted this child as a precious gift. You know, in Psalm 127:3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. And Mary saw this child not as a burden, but as a blessing. You know, it's sad today that many mothers view their children as a burden, an inconvenience, rather than a blessing. Did you know in 2017 there were over 879,000 abortions here in America? Almost a million. Over 60 million since Roe versus Wade in 1973. You know what that translates to? 2,500, over 2,500 a day are aborted in America. That's 120 babies every hour. Just think about it. We're going to be in this service at least an hour, and 120 babies will have been aborted. One every 30 seconds. That's the sad facts that we have today. You know, Sally Clarkson, this lady, she said, "No calling is greater, nobler, or more fulfilling than that of motherhood." It's a noble calling. Every mother should accept this calling from God as a privilege from God, as a gift from God. Do you realize this morning that every single one of us who are saved, that we owe our salvation to Christ, yes, but also to this mother who chose to love and accept the gift God had given her? You know, she said in that passage we read, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She accepted this responsibility, this calling from God. She surrendered to God's will for her life. And not only that, but we owe our lives to our own mothers for making the same decision. Thank God. And thank your mom that you weren't one of those 2,500 babies aborted in the country every day. Thank God for moms everywhere who, although they might have been shocked, they might have been surprised, they were also willing to take life as it comes and to graciously accept the precious gift of God that He had given to them. I read a quote from James Keller, and he said, "Every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of new life." I never thought of it that way. I've never looked at it that way. A mother getting to share with God in the creation of new life. You know, when God places a baby into your arms, it is His will for you to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so they might know Him. It's God's will for you to tell them the story of Jesus and His amazing love. You know, Mary's pregnancy, it may have come as a surprise. It may have come as a shock. But she responded with unwavering love and devotion for that beautiful baby boy that would grow up to be the Savior of the world. So we see a mother's surprise, but I want, secondly, look at a mother's sacrifice. If you'll look in chapter 2, in chapter 2 of Luke, in verse 39, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, before we get to these verses, I want to just say that I'm amazed at Mary's acceptance of this calling that God had given to her. I'm amazed at how she responded to the angel's announcement. After the angel explained that with God, nothing is impossible, and how that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, she said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." What she is saying there is that I'm God's servant. Whatever God wants for me, I'm willing to do it. Isn't that the way we all should be? I mean, you may be here and you're not a mother. You may be a father. You may be a son. You may be a child. You may be a teenager. Listen, we can learn from Mary. God has a calling for each of us. He has a purpose for our lives. And we, like Mary, would be wise to say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever you want, God, whatever your will is for my life, I surrender that to that. No matter what it may cost me, Lord, I surrender to whatever you have for my life. I want to serve you. That's what Mary is saying. I'm sure that Mary had no idea what this would entail in her life. She had no idea, just like a lot of parents don't know either. You don't know what's coming. When you have that first pregnancy, it's exciting, but there's a lot of unknowns. You don't know what it all entails. But as you go along, you find out soon what's involved. And I think one thing that we find out as parents is how much we need the Lord's help to raise children. It's one of the toughest jobs in the world, being a parent raising children. As we look at these verses that we just read, we need to remember that Mary not only gave birth to Jesus, but Mary mothered Jesus from the time of his birth until the time of his public ministry at the age of 30. She was a mother to him. She raised him. She cared for him. She sacrificed for him. I want you to see a mother's sacrifice here. You know, from the time of Jesus' birth until he was 12 years old, the scripture is really silent. All we know is that they had to go away into Egypt because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And then they go back into Nazareth after Herod's death. That's where our verse 39 picks up, when they went to Nazareth. We don't hear anything until he's 12, and later on in this passage it talks about that, verse 41 through 52. And notice verse 52, for example, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Sometimes we don't realize this, even though Jesus was and is the Son of God, that he grew up just like we all grew up. Yes, he was eternal. He was eternal with the Father. He was with the Father in the beginning. In fact, he created all things. But when he came to this world to be made flesh, he grew up as a baby, as a little boy. He grew up just like we grew up. He had to learn how to eat, how to walk, and all these different things that we have to learn growing up. Jesus had to learn. And where did he learn those things? Primarily from his mother. I mean, stop and think about that for a minute. And the scripture tells us here that the child grew In other words, physically, Jesus grew. Now, you know a child can't grow physically unless a mother feeds that child, takes care of that child, prepares meals for that child. There's a lot of work involved in helping a child to grow physically. And not only did he grow physically, he waxed strong in spirit. And it says that he was filled with wisdom. You know, it took a lot of time of teaching. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the greatest teacher ever. I mean, Jesus, whom the scripture says, is the wisdom of God. But yet, when he's a baby, I want you to understand, this is I can't explain this, but Philippians 2 talks about it, how he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. He did all that for us, for the cross, to go to the cross. But that idea, he laid aside his glory when he left heaven and come to this earth. You know, when he was on this earth, he didn't shine with the glory that he had in heaven. It's like that was veiled. Yeah, Jesus was still the Son of God, and yet at the same time, he was fully man, fully human. I mean, that's hard to understand, but you have God-man joined in one. But his glory was veiled, and it was laid aside. And so people didn't see that. And I believe that Jesus subjected himself to being human. In other words, Jesus hungered like we hungered. He thirsted like we thirst. He had desires like we have desires. The only thing different about Jesus, he never sinned. But the point I'm trying to make is that Mary, as his mother, sacrificed to raise him. She sacrificed to feed this young boy and to teach him so that he could grow and be filled with wisdom. In verse 52, as we read, this is when he was 12 years old, he increased in wisdom and stature. So, in other words, mentally, physically, and then it says in favor with God and man, he increased spiritually and socially. In all these areas of life, Jesus increased and grew because of the home that he had, because of the mother that sacrificed to make him what he was. Now, I will say that Mary, no doubt, had a little advantage with Jesus. A boy who was always obedient. Can you imagine that, moms? Not having to tell that 2-year-old twice, or that 16-year-old 20 times, but to have them always obey you. Can you imagine that? Imagine what that would be like. I mean, that's a gift that every mother really wants for Mother's Day, is it not? Just to have a child that's obedient and does what you tell them to do. I mean, that's a lot better than chocolate on Mother's Day and flowers. But Mary got that every Mother's Day. That's what she got. She got from Jesus perfect obedience. He honored and respected his mother. He never sinned. The Bible tells us that. Never sinned means that he never at one time did not honor his father and his mother. Never at one time did he ever disobey his parents. That's amazing, isn't it? To think about that. But before you start thinking Mary had it easy, I want you to think again, because she had the job of constantly protecting her son. From the very moment he was born, it was a life. His life was in danger. Remember, Herod wanted to kill him before he was even 2 years old, and they had to flee into Egypt. Mary had to protect him. She also protected his identity. Though she knew who he was, she heard these stories of who he was, what the angels had said to her. She heard what the shepherds had told her. And later we're going to look at Simeon. She heard what he told. She heard all these things of who he was and what he was to become. But she couldn't tell everybody about all the wonderful things that she had heard. But the scripture tells us in Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word kept means she protected. She kept all these things that she knew about Jesus, and she pondered them in her heart. And don't forget, Jesus wasn't an only child. Mary did not remain a perpetual virgin, like some try to teach. Jesus had several brothers and sisters. Mary had a lot of rugrats running around the house. Jesus may be an obedient child, but that doesn't mean the others were. Can you imagine what it'd be like in this home? I wonder how many times Jesus' brothers and sisters heard, "Why can't you just be like Jesus? Why can't you just be obedient like Jesus and do what you're supposed to do?" It's not easy being a mother. I'm not a mother, but I'm married to my wife, who is a mother. And I know my mother, what she's done for me. I know it's not easy to be a mother. It's hard work. A mother's job is never done. Even when the kids grow up and leave the home, I mean, she's still being a mother to her children. It's a work that's never finished. You know, a mother, she has to do many jobs. A cook, a referee, a maid, a dietitian, a teacher, a seamstress, a counselor, a disciplinarian, a coach, a taxi driver, many, many other things all rolled up into one. And guess what? There's no salary involved. I was trying to look it up, and I looked at statistics of how much time that parents spend with their children, and I just did some figuring on my own, and this may be off, but from what I could gather, and how much time a parent spends with their child, especially a mother, get this, a mother will spend at least 18,000 hours caring for children from the time they're born till the time they're 18 years old. 18,000 hours. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. C.S. Lewis, he wrote, "Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work." Mothers, I want you to know out there that we know that your job is tough. But we want you to know your job is the most important job. The most important job here on earth. Andy Stanley, he said, "Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise." Mothers, I want you to think about that, because I know young mothers can be very, very busy trying to raise their children. They feel like, well, I can't get as involved in church as I would love to. I don't feel like I'm really doing anything other than raising my kids. Well, listen, moms, the greatest contribution you may make to the kingdom of God may not be what you do, but whom you raise. Think about that. You know, I can tell you that would be a worthy investment of your time to pour yourself into your children, teaching them about Jesus, teaching them about serving and loving, and teaching them about being responsible and different things that we should teach our kids. That's one of the greatest things you can do for your kids. I'm not saying don't get involved in church. I mean, as you are able, get involved. But listen, raising children is a very important job. It's a very important job. It involves a lot of sacrifice. But I want you to turn now to chapter 2 in Luke, to verse 25. And we're going to look at a mother's surrender. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, when Jesus was just 8 days old, according to the law, his parents brought him to the temple with a sacrifice. They had to bring a sacrifice, and I didn't read the verses prior to this, but they brought a sacrifice of two turtle doves or two pigeons. And the law allowed for those in place of a lamb for the poor. Now, I want you to imagine this. Jesus' parents, it tells us something about them. They were very poor. They could not afford a lamb to sacrifice as the law required. But thankfully, the Lord allowed for the poor to also bring a sacrifice, two turtle doves. Jesus being rich, I mean, being God, what does the scripture say? He became poor for our sakes, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. And so as they came in with Jesus, they're coming into the temple, and there's this man we learn about here, an old man, Simeon. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man who loved prophecy. He was looking or waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is the consolation of Israel? Well, it's a clear reference to the Messiah, to the Christ, to the Savior that God had promised in the Old Testament. He was looking for the Savior to come. He was looking for Christ to be sent. And I love how it's described here, the consolation of Israel. The word consolation speaks of comfort. You know that true consolation can only come from Christ. Only come from Christ. You know, we go through life, we face a lot of trials, we face a lot of troubles, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, sorrows. But Jesus is our consolation. This man was looking for the consolation of Israel to come. And no doubt, I'm sure after John the Baptist's birth, that this man had heard all the news. Because if you read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 65, it says that it was published abroad about John the Baptist's birth and the meaning of his birth. I'm not going to go there and read those verses, but he was the one that would prepare the way for the Messiah. He was the one that was going to introduce the Messiah, point people to Jesus. I'm sure that Simeon, when he heard these stories and heard them telling about John the Baptist and being the forerunner of Christ, I'm sure that he was getting excited because he was looking, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so he's getting excited as he's hearing this news. And then 6 months later, when Jesus is born, remember those shepherds in the first part of chapter 2? Those shepherds who were temple shepherds. They were right outside of Jerusalem, just a short distance away in Bethlehem. They were out there watching their flock by night. These were shepherds who kept sheep who were going to be sacrificed, lambs to be sacrificed in the temple. And it was to those shepherds that the angels appeared and told about the Savior. And it says in Luke 2:17 that the shepherds made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they published the news about this. Well, what was the news? Well, in verse 10 and 11, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That was what they were telling people. These shepherds were saying, guess what? The Lamb of God has come and been born. The baby Lamb of God is here. One day, all these other sheep out here, they're going to be done away with. Yes, the Lamb is here. I can't imagine the stories that they told. And I'm sure Simeon, having heard those stories, even got more and more excited until one day, there he is in the temple, and the Holy Spirit told him, there he is. That's the baby. That's the consolation of Israel. That is the Christ. And so Simeon meets Joseph and the mother of Jesus in this story. Imagine his joy when he took up this baby in his arms. And I love what he said. I want to go back and reread that. He said in verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Do you get what he's saying? As he's holding this baby, he said, "God, I have seen your salvation." You know what that means? It means that salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ. Salvation doesn't come by our works. It doesn't come by our church. It comes through a person, Jesus Christ, whose name means Jehovah is Savior. He is the God-man, the one who came to save us from our sins. That's what his name means. And this man is saying to the Lord, "Now, Lord, you can let me die. You can let me depart from this world in peace. Because I've seen with my eyes your salvation." And I want to just say to you today that the only way you and I can depart this life in peace is knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. As I preached our brother Tony's funeral this past Friday, that's what I told those people. I said, you know, Tony knew the Lord. He had a wonderful testimony of salvation. He served the Lord. I mean, there's no question of where he is today. But I said, for you out there, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's no way you can die in peace and having hope. So many people without hope, without Christ. But this man, he said, "Lord, I can depart in peace. No fear of death. No fear of what's going to come, because he says, I've seen thy salvation." What a wonderful truth. A wonderful truth that is. And it says, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." You know, the salvation Jesus came to purchase for us on the cross is for all people. All people, everyone, whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a salvation provided for everyone, all people, all nations, not just Israel. And what I love about it, he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. You know, here's a Jewish man believing in Jewish prophecy of Scripture in the Old Testament. And he doesn't say that Jesus is a light to the Jews. He said, but a light to lighten the Gentiles, which means the nations, all the nations of the world, and the glory of thy people Israel. It's interesting because he's confessing that Jesus came to be a light to the nations. All the nations, which includes us. Aren't you thankful for that? That Jesus didn't just come for that nation of Israel, but he came for all the nations of the world to be the light of the world. I think Simeon must have known by prophecy, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, that the nation of Israel was going to reject Jesus Christ. And then the light would go to the Gentiles. Yeah, and he said, in the glory of thy people, yes, that time is coming. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back, and then there's going to be tribulation, and then he's going to reign on this earth when he comes the second time with his saints, and all Israel shall be saved. I mean, they're going to look to him at that point. They're going to believe him at that point. God still has a plan. It's going to be for the glory of Israel, yes. But for now, he is a light to the Gentiles. He is a Savior. Joseph and the mother Jesus, it says they marveled at these words spoken by Simeon. They were, the word marvel means they were just amazed at these words that they had heard. I mean, think about this. To be a woman chosen by God to be a mother is no doubt a wonderful, precious gift. But for this mother of Jesus to be the mother of the Savior of the world, wow, what an even greater honor. But I want you to notice that after that, that Simeon, he gave a prophecy to Mary, his mother, verse 34. I want you to notice that it doesn't say Joseph and his mother. It just says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. He was now speaking to the mother of Jesus. And he said this, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. You know, the fall and rising of many. Jesus, for many, he's a stumbling block. Or a stumbling stone, the scripture calls him. A rock of offense. Meaning that for many, they're going to fall over Christ. They're going to reject Jesus Christ. And so Simeon is telling his mother, listen, your son, he's going to be for the fall of many. Many are going to fall because of him. Meaning many are going to reject him. But then he says, and the rising again of many. There are going to be those that receive him and trust him. You see, Jesus is like a magnet. You know, for some, they're attracted to him, but others, they're repelled by him. I mean, that's the way it is today. I mean, in this audience today, I mean, it's very well possible there are those that are against Christ. I realize we're in church, but there are people today in our world, they're against Christ. They don't believe Jesus. But then there are those of us here that we have received Christ. We confess Christ. We believe on him for salvation. We believe he is the Son of God. We believe he is the Christ. We believe he is coming again. We believe he's seated on the right hand of the Father today. He's our great high priest. We confess that. And he says he's going to be a sign, which is literally a target that people shoot at. How many times have you drove down the road and you see all these bullet holes in these signs? You know, I wonder what people are doing when they do that. They're driving a gun out the window while they're driving past. I remember, Donnie can remember this, when we used to go fishing. on the way to the lake, we'd be drinking a bottle of Coke. Back in those days, it was glass bottles. And we would have fun before we got to the lake trying to hit a sign. We'd roll down that window. Whoosh! A sign, a target. What are you saying is Jesus was going to be the target of much evil. And you see that in his ministry in the Gospels, how that people tried to kill him. They hated him. And I believe he says that he's going to be this sign because the last part of 35, it says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, just Jesus' presence, it's going to open up and reveal people's hearts, whether they're for him or against him. But I want you to see something that Simeon said in verse 35, the first part of that verse. Remember, he's speaking to Mary, the mother of Jesus. He said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." He wanted Mary to know that it's not going to be all roses raising Jesus. It's not going to all be sweetness and light. It was a great honor and privilege for sure, but it was also going to be, there's going to be suffering involved in raising this child. He wanted her to know that. And I think for every mother here today, you know what I'm talking about. There is joy in being a parent. There's joy for you mothers to be a mother. But you know well as I do, there's also pain. There's also sorrow. You know, I think about the first time that you send your child off to preschool or kindergarten. What kind of emotions go through the heart of a mother? Well, there's joy because you see your child is going to start their first day of school, but then there's also sadness because you're like, they're growing up. They're no longer going to be at home with me all day. They're going to be with someone else. And it's like that first day of school is that time a mother is giving up somewhat of her child. Surrendering her child. And that's what we're looking at in this third point, a mother's surrender. Simeon wanted her to know what she was going to be facing in the future. You know, I think about also for a mother today when you have your child graduate high school. I mean, the same emotions of joy and sadness go through every parent. I mean, you're excited they made it. You're excited that they're graduating. But you're sad because you know what it means. That they're going to be going out and following their dreams. They're going to go out and pursue their dreams. And that's tough on a mom and on a dad. It's tough. But I want to say to every mother here and parent, father and mother, especially those of you with little ones, we cannot keep our children. We cannot keep them. They're a gift given to us by God to raise them for His purpose. They're only given to us for a time. And you know, we have to, at some point in life, we have to surrender our kids to the Lord. We have to say, okay, Lord, these are yours. They're not mine. I know every one of our children, not after they were born, we did that. We did that in a church service. And, you know, I know when I've been here, I don't think we've done that. Maybe we ought to get back to doing that when you have a baby born. Surrender that child to God because, you know, it'll help you as a parent if you realize that truth, that this child that is so precious to you, that you love so dearly, you know, you surrender that child to God and realizing that child is really God's. It's not yours. And so what I'm saying is, my mother's surrender, it's tough. It's not easy being a mom. I mean, a mom's surprised when that baby, when she's pregnant, and then we see her sacrifices. She sacrifices for that child, but then there's a time of surrender. A mother has to surrender that child to God. Sometimes it don't happen until they go off after graduation. They go off to college or they go off and get married. That parent has to realize, I have to surrender this child. It's not easy. But that's what Mary had to do. She had to surrender. You know, we have to realize that sometimes it's tough as a parent also, because you think about children when they make wrong choices in life. It breaks our heart, does it not? It's not easy. But for Mary, it was not a wrong choice that Jesus made that broke her heart. It was a right choice. When Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. It was that choice that Jesus made that caused Mary the pain, the sword that pierced her heart. Because I believe that what Simeon's prophesying about here that was going to cause Mary such great pain in her soul was the cross. This is a prophecy of what was coming, that Christ would suffer on the cross. She would have to watch her son be rejected by evil men, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be spit upon, and at last to be crucified, which was one of the most gruesome ways to die. And here we find at the cross that Mary was there. She was there at the cross. I cannot imagine what must have gone through her heart and mind as she was looking at her son as he was nailed to that cross. I wondered if that time she, in her minds and thoughts, went back to what Simeon had told her. I'm sure when he first told her, maybe she didn't understand it, but she knew Jesus, there's something special about him. But I really wonder if she understood at that moment that Jesus one day would die for the sins of the world, and that included her own sins. I wonder if she knew that. But when he went to that cross, when those Roman soldiers put those nails through his hands and through his feet, I'm sure that sword was piercing down in her soul. She was pained watching her son suffer such cruel treatment. Every parent that has ever had to lay a child to rest, I'm sure they know something of the heartache that Mary must have felt. Have you stopped to consider this morning the thought that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to stand there and watch her son die for your sins and my sins? Think about it. It was your sins and my sins that he had to go to that cross, that his mother Mary had to suffer that agony and pain. But the good news is, Sunday was coming. He would rise again. He would rise over sin, death, pain, and sorrow once and for all, to purchase for us redemption, so that one day we could go to that place called heaven, where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more goodbyes. Had Jesus not came to this world to suffer for us, where would we be today? Think about it. Because of Mary's surrender of her son to the will of God, listen, we have a Savior today. All because this mother said, okay, God, be it according to that word. God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will surrender to your will. Even though it must have been very, very hard, she was willing to surrender to God's will. I want you to look in John before we close. In John 19, we're wrapping this up. But I want you to see something in John 19, in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. Notice these next two words. His mother. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. I want you to think about something just very quickly. When Jesus was on the cross, I'm sure that his mother would have loved to hear him say, mother, I love you. But he didn't say that. He said, woman. Now, woman is a term of respect in that time, but what he is saying to his mother, that our relationship is now changing. I have been your son. You have been my mother. But from this point forward, I'm going to be your Savior. I'm going to be your Lord. He says, woman, behold your son. And he wasn't saying to look at me. He was having her look at John, the apostle who wrote the Gospel of John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. He told his mother to look at thy son. Behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. You know, one of the last acts Jesus did when he was on the cross was to take care of his mother. To make sure she had somebody to take care of her. Because Joseph had already passed. And now as her eldest son, he was going. And why not commit her into his brothers, her other sons? Well, I think it teaches us an important truth that in the absence of her husband and her eldest son, Jesus, Jesus is committing her to her spiritual family. She had a spiritual family to care for her. And those of you here, members of Bible Baptist Church, you have a spiritual family that cares for you too. Isn't that good to think about that? I want to thank some of our widows in our church for taking care of Karen. I know that the loss of her husband, she's going to need it. But I'm thankful she has a spiritual family. I told her, I said, Karen, I said, we're here for you. We are here for you. We're going to walk with you through this. That's what Jesus is doing on the cross with his mom. Say, mom, I want to commit you to John. To her spiritual family. And you know the good news that she was able to see her son again. What a blessing that must have been to her. You know, moms this morning, BBC moms, you hold a very special place in our spiritual family here at Bible Baptist Church. Without you, many of us wouldn't be here. I pray that God would look on you with the same favor that he did on Mary, and that each of you would continue serving your Savior, your family, your church family. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, he wants to have a relationship with you. He left heaven's glory, came to this world to become poor, to suffer on this cruel cross for your sins and my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us that he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. You know, some people have different ideas about the uttermost, but I believe this is what it means. That when you come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, when you put your faith and trust in him, he saves you to the uttermost. Meaning he's not going to fail. He's not going to save you and then cast you away later. No, he saves you to the uttermost. Amen. All the way to the end, until he comes for you either in death or in the rapture. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. That if we come to God through him, that he saves us to the uttermost. And it goes on to say, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, Jesus, when he becomes your Savior, he's not done with his work. Yeah, his work of redemption, it's finished. He finished it on the cross, but you know what? He's still up there as our great high priest praying. When we fall, he's praying. Just like he told Peter, you know what, Peter? You're going to fall, but I've prayed for you. Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. He said, when you're converted, go encourage your brethren. See, Jesus like that, he's praying for us. He's interceding. He's going to save us to the uttermost. No matter what we go through in life, no matter how many times we fail Jesus, he's going to save to the uttermost. What a Savior. Stand with me. As we stand together, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to open up the time for an invitation. This is a very important time, a time that you can respond to what God has spoken to your heart about. You know, the Holy Spirit, he can work in mysterious ways, and he knows your need here this morning. And you may not be a mother, but he may have spoken to you through the message, because he can do that. Maybe he's shown you this morning that you need to be saved. You need to have that peace that only Jesus can give, that consolation. I want to urge you to do that today by stepping out, coming to the altar. We'd be glad to have someone pray with you, show you from the scriptures how you can know for sure you're saved. Would you do that today? Would you trust Christ? And maybe you're here and you're struggling in your Christian life. I hope that the message is an encouragement to you as we look at the example of Mary, a woman who no doubt was given one of the toughest jobs ever by God, to raise the Son of God. Just think of what that would entail, and how she had to watch him suffer, be rejected all through his life, and watch him go to the cross. But she surrendered to God's will for her life. She was willing to suffer if it meant glory to God, if it was God's will. She was willing. Would you be willing this morning to do that? Say, Lord, I just want to surrender your will, whatever that will is. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your love that is everlasting. Your love that you have shown us by sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. Lord, you've proven it over and over again, not just at the cross, but you've proven it by giving us mothers to raise us, to love us, to care for us, to sacrifice for us. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us today. Lord, we owe you everything. And Lord, I want to pray for those here that do not know Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today they would come to Him by faith. They would call upon His name for salvation. And Father, I also want to pray for those of us here that do have a relationship with You, Lord, that You would help us in our walk with You. Help us to be like Mary. Help us to be willing to surrender to Your will and Your call, whatever that might be. Lord, we know because of Mary's surrender, we have a Savior. Lord, I wonder what our surrender would look like. How many lives would be saved and how many lives would be changed just because we decided today to surrender to Jesus. Lord, I know many mothers that have done that years past. They surrendered their lives to Jesus. And they've raised their children for the glory of God. And their children are serving the Lord in various places of the world. Lord, we thank You and praise You for that. And we're asking today for Your blessing upon this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.